Bienvenidos a la presentación.
Welcome to the presentation of the results of the first quarter 2019 for CIE Automotive. Lorea Aristizabal, Director for Corporate Development of the CIE Group, will be in charge of giving this presentation. At the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. You'll be able to ask your question via phone by pressing 01 on your keyboard at any time during the presentation. And now I'll hand over to Ms. Aristizabal. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the conference call on the results for the first quarter of 2019 of CIE Automotive. Just a reminder before we continue and before we discuss the figures, and that is in order to facilitate the comparison, the first quarter of 2018 published in the results presentation for this first quarter 2019 pertains to a like-for-like perimeter. In other words, we have not included Dominion, Biofuels or Stokes. These last two activities, which, as you will remember, were discontinued during 2018. And now we start to review the sector situation. And if 2018 was a bleak year, the first with a global contraction since 2009, with a drop in volumes of minus 1%, very much concentrated in the second half, 2019 has not been off to a better start, and during the first quarter showed a production drop of almost 7%, which has had its origin mainly in China and Europe. And we can start by reviewing these two geographies. First of all, China. An unfavorable context in the second semester last year, with the announcement and the non-implementation of incentives for vehicle purchasing, as well as the trade war with the United States, which was extended throughout the first quarter of 2019, significantly affecting a market which has shrunk by 13.5%. What can we expect from China in 2019? Well, we believe that we can expect a less negative second quarter than the first, and we can expect the second half of the year to be better than the first half. And we're thinking about three reasons for this. First of all, the result of the lowering of VAT on vehicle purchasing, a measure which finally came into effect on April 1st. Secondly, the hope of an agreement between China and the United States to put an end to the trade war. We'll see. With the latest news, that is not so clear. And thirdly, the mathematical effect of comparing the volumes from the second half of 2019 with the volumes of the second half of last year, which were very low. With all this, for the total year 2019, the current forecasts for China are of a practically flat market, around 26.9 million vehicles, which will continue to grow at a rate of between 3 and 4% as of 2020. Meanwhile, what is CIE doing in China? Well, as you know, our exposure to China is very small and is focused on specific products for Western customers. Our main plant there is CIE Nanjing, which represents almost 80% of our sales in China, and during the last 4 years has been ramping up major forge projects. These projects attained full series production at the end of 2018, which together with the fact that the first quarter of 2018 was a quarter with a great deal of growth for CIE in China, with plus 20%, has meant that the drop in our sales has been 7% in the first quarter of 2019. However, we should value the 7-point gap with the market. We move on to discussing Europe. The WLTP effect, the impact of the changes in the vehicle powertrain demand, less diesel, more gasoline, more hybrid and electric, the uncertainty of Brexit. We believe that these are the factors that most continue to have an impact on the European automotive market, which this quarter fell by over 5%. What can we expect from Europe in 2019? We believe that the second quarter can be as negative as the first in view of the extremely high volumes in the second quarter last year. And the second half of the year should be positive, assuming a lower WLTP effect, although a new WLTP phase is coming in September 2019. We expect a greater certainty regarding the Brexit process and, again, the mathematical effect of the low volumes in the second half of 2018. For the total year 2019, the current forecasts for Europe are an approximately 2% fall in output, down to 21.2 million vehicles, returning to the small growth typical of a mature market as of 2020. CIE in Europe, meanwhile. Another quarter, we've seen two completely different realities in the two Europes where CIE is present. On the one hand, the traditional Europe, linked to the passenger vehicle, where we've had a smaller drop than that of the market, and CIE Europe, linked to the truck segment, with a very significant double-digit growth, with Metal Castello, CIE Lithuania, and FE Germany as key plants in these high growth rates with double digits we're having. The total for Europe, showing once again the advantages of diversification, we have grown. CIE in Europe has grown organically by 2.5%, and we have significantly exceeded the market. We can review the other three markets very quickly. A few words on North America. As occurred in previous quarters, the North American market has shown a very different development in the different regions. Mexico has gone back to the growth path after that election phase in 2018. Canada and the United States, however, drop, and they drag down the overall North American market, which has decreased by 2.5% in the quarter. What can we expect from North America in 2019? Well, we expect that the rest of the year will continue with a negative trend, although it will be softer. It could take us to a 2019 with a volume drop of around minus 1.6% and a market with around 16.7 million vehicles produced. Meanwhile, the strong position of CIE in this market has led to an organic growth of no more and no less than 16%, a growth rate which we can confirm has been very similar in our plants in Mexico and the United States, and which has meant an extremely important gap with the market of almost 20 points. Brazil. Although both the macro global uncertainty and the uncertainty generated by the result of the elections held in November 2018 have continued to weigh heavily in this quarter with a market which has been practically flat, the uncertainty seems to be dissipating, bearing in mind that the last quarter last year fell by 2.5% versus 0.6% in this quarter, and bearing in mind that the comparable basis in the volumes in the first quarter of 2018 were very high. What can we expect from Brazil in 2019? That the rest of the quarters will be positive, clearly, with a significant growth that will close the year with an increase in volume of approximately 7% up to 3 million vehicles, based on the strength of the domestic market. We do not expect a short-term recovery in export volumes. And as of 2020, we envisage growths of around 3 and 5% for the coming years. Meanwhile, CIE continues to pick up market share in Brazil as a result of the strong position of our plants after the crisis, and we have grown by more than 2% in the quarter, once again beating the market. India, the last market we're going to review. The Indian market has shrunk by almost 3% in this first quarter, a development that is especially justified by the uncertainty of the general elections in the country, which are being held between April and May, with a result that isn't very clear and which has generated this uncertainty in the market. We saw it in 2018 with Mexico, with Brazil. It's a slowdown that has had a special impact in the two-wheeler segment, a segment that almost 15% of our sales are focused on in India, pre-integration of Aurangabad. In any case, the prospects for the Indian market in 2019 are favorable, with a total growth expected of 4%, going from less to more during the year, and in future years will return to very high growth rates of 8, 9, 10%. This quarter, again, CIE has performed better than the overall Indian market with a growth of 2%, which represents this 5-point gap with the market. To summarize, in analyzing the global market, the first quarter left us with a production drop of 7%, and in this context, CIE once again has beaten the market, a quarter with an organic growth of more than 5%, which means in beating the market by 12 points, reconfirming the solid CIE business model, which allows us to offer sustainable growth in proper time, among other things, due to our capability to balance markets and segments that present completely different dynamics. And although the organic growth of CIE in this first quarter is somewhat lower than in previous quarters, and lower than for the year 2018, we would like to highlight that the CIE gap versus the market is at double-digit levels. To close the section on markets and growths, the total for 2019, the global market is expected to decrease by around 1%, with a growing profile throughout the year. And from 2020 onwards, the current forecasts refer to a growth between 1.5% and 3%, similar to the historical values for the sector. Moving on to margins, and three headlines, I think, should be highlighted. One, that the growth path continues for the operating margins that we presented quarter after quarter during the entire strategic plan, an EBITDA which has grown 10% and an 8% EBIT compared to the last quarter, with a like-to-like parameter, with solid performance in operating margins in all geographies, and without including the 3.9 million in additional EBITDA resulting from IFRS 16, there is an improvement in operating margins versus the first quarter of 2018 in practically all geographies. And finally, a net income which has increased by 15%, reaching 73 million euros in the quarter, which represents a record level of 9% over sales. And we'll briefly comment on the balance sheet and cash flow. During the first quarter, we have once again deleveraged the balance sheet, and the net financial net is 944 million euros, and the net financial debt EBITDA ratio is 1.74 times. And we closed 2018 with 948 million euros in debt, which represents a ratio of 1.79. And we're closing automotive in 2017. We closed automotive in 2017 with 950 million equivalent euros. That is 2.01%. That is, we're growing much more than the market. We're paying out higher and higher dividends without an additional debt and reducing our debt ratios, which is only possible thanks to the high cash generation level in the group. Regarding the cash flow in the first quarter, we would highlight that the EBITDA conversion ratio into operating cash flow exceeded 61% versus the goal of 55%, and the variation in operating net work capital is fundamentally explained by the payout of 40 million euros in January for the first and third quarters of CIA, which is intensified by the higher dividend we're paying out year by year. And we will, of course, end this conference talking about the closing of the strategic plan announced this very morning in the annual shareholders meeting. And bearing in mind that, on the one hand, the automotive 2018 CIE perimeter has speeded up the attainment of the objectives for the strategic plan 2016-2020, and in fact will attain them a year earlier than planned in 2019. And also considering that in 2019, two inorganic operations have been closed down, Inteva Roof Systems and Aurangabad, which have a significant effect on CIE's financial accounts. Because of these two facts, we've decided to bring forward the closing of the current strategic plan and launch a new strategic plan. We have called it CIE 2025. It's an ambitious plan that will cover the 6 years in the period 20 to 25, a plan that we're putting the finishing touches to, and a plan that you'll be hearing about in the next few months, we hope before the end of the year. A really important landmark in the history of the CIE project, which we believe has even more merit in the current context of the automotive market, with many players in the sector announcing drops in sales, profit warnings, and in general worse prospects, a situation that is very different to the future that we envisage for CIE Automotive. And I would like to thank you for your attention and move on to any questions. Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session is starting now. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your keyboard. To ensure sound quality, we suggest that you use a landline for your questions. Thank you. The first question is from José María Cánovas from JB Capital Markets. Go ahead, please. Hello. I have a question about NAFTA. You were commenting on the various regions and the market, but what's happening in NAFTA exactly beyond the greenfields? How have you been able to achieve such a big gap? Can you give us some more details? Thank you. Hello, Chema. Good afternoon. Well, in fact, there are just two realities. One fact is the high market pickup we're obtaining in that geographic area. And secondly, the coincidence in that many of the projects have to be industrialized now. I think that 16% is really outstanding, and I believe it draws attention. I don't want to undertake or make you think that 16% is sustainable forever and ever. I think it's a strong moment of growth over there, and you'll have to think of something a little bit lower for the rest of the year. But it's a geographic area where we're having a very extremely high onboarding, and I think that we have to highlight something that we already mentioned at the end of 2018. When we talk about NAFTA, because this has been so historically the most important and most strongly grown market has been Mexico, and we have to consider what our plants are doing in the U.S., Nucor in machining and in plastic. And as I tried to explain during the conference call, this 16% has been practically 16% in Mexico and 16% in the United States. So we also have to appreciate what a value is doing, a market that is dropping, like the U.S. market, with plants that are growing by 16%, a lot of onboarding and a lot of industrialization right now. So I believe that you're gaining share there. And going back to NAFTA, regarding margins, should we see somewhat lower margins for the rest of the year or around these figures? Chema, I'll refer to the guidance for the strategic plan that's in force. And the CIE region has the highest margins, margins that have been close to 24% EBITDA at some points. And forget IFRS, I'm talking about last year. We've always spoken about the sustainability of the margins around 22-something, 23% EBITDA, which we've had recurrently for many quarters. And I think that's our commitment. Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your keyboard. Thank you. The next question is from Robert Jackson from Banco Santander. Go ahead, please. Good afternoon, Lorea and team. Regarding sales in NAFTA and Asia, could you give us a breakdown of how much is NAFTA, USA and Mexico, and Asia, how much is India and China? And then in Mahindra Europe, how much growth is for trucks? How much has that growth contributed? Hello, Robert, good afternoon. I'll start with the first question, Mexico, United States. If you remember, traditionally, we've always spoken about a 70-30, but last year, with the strength that the U.S. had in the last few quarters, with the growth of these projects in the U.S., some of the same ones were ramping up this first quarter, and things have changed, and we're closer to 60% Mexico, 40% United States, almost. In the case of Asia, India and China continue with this 70-30 share that we historically discussed. Remember that last year it ended up being 150 million in China, and this was 30% of Asia, and we're at more or less similar percentages. The second question regarding Mahindra CIE Europe, Mahindra CIE is a region that has had somewhat over 150 million in sales in the quarter. Of this, practically half are from German forges. The rest has to do with the traditional CIE forges and with Metal Castello, the machining company we have. So it's this part of the German forges that are more linked to the truck side. As you said, Daimler is one of our main customers. Daimler is a strong engine. If you remember the conference call in the last quarter in 2018, we mentioned Daimler as an important part of our growth there in the last quarter, and the same thing is happening again. But you also have to think about other customers that we have over there, such as MAN, Volvo, Scania, etc., and a truck market that isn't doing a bad job. We're in a half-sweet moment in the cycle. Let's see if the truck cycle slows down. It's been very sweet so far, but so far the prospects are looking good. A somewhat more complicated question, but of that organic growth, to have an idea of the improvement or market share increases, any indications or any ideas on how much is due to the increase in market share? CIE has made a major effort there. Could you give us any indications? Well, I think it's a matter of competitiveness. I don't think there are other factors. There are customers that we're providing a good service to. And the truck market, remember, we're not talking about the same market we're talking about for passenger vehicles. In one case, we talk about 90 million vehicles produced a year. Here, we're talking about over 3 million vehicles. And in Europe, it's a market of 500,000 vehicles. So there's a certain amount of concentration. And if there's a supplier that provides a good supply that's competitive, that's reliable, et cetera, et cetera, well, I think that we're gaining market share through the trust of our customers. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Just to remind you once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your keyboard. The next question is from Alvaro Lente from Alantra Equities. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon. I had a couple of questions regarding cash flow. It's gone down. I would like to know whether that's for any particular reason or whether it's sustainable, because considering the increase in sales, it ought to grow. And then the financial debt figure, it doesn't include the impact of IFRS 16, but you do include it for the cash flow. I don't know whether I missed something or whether it is included in the debt. And if not, why is it included for cash flow? Thank you. Hello, Alvaro. The maintenance capex has gone down. That's exactly the opposite of what I have in my head. In the first quarter, if I'm not wrong, I don't have the presentation in front of me, but I would say it was 37 million, and I'm checking it while I'm talking to you. The maintenance capex, which over sales means 4.6%, and in percentage, it's a little bit higher than what it has been historically. If I look at the quarters for last year, I see in the fourth quarter 2.8%, in the previous one 4.2%, in the previous one 4.4%, etc. So I thought that the question was going to be the opposite, that the maintenance capex has increased slightly in percentage. I think that we have to think about the total capex, that's 6.9% over sales, the 37 plus 19 million, which are those 57 million, representing 6.9% over sales. 4.6 could have been 4.4 and 2.3 in growth capex over sales could have been 2.5, but there's a time where there's a somewhat fine line as to what we define as maintenance capex and growth capex, but there's nothing special. Answering your question, there's nothing special. And then you were asking about cash flow and how the IFRS has been presented. Well, the slide, as we show it, and so that we can all understand it, as we see it, the aim of that slide is to explain, on the one hand, the conversion of EBITDA into operating cash. And since EBITDA this quarter has had 151 million, including 3.9 million that come from IFRS, and which is an accounting item, but it's not cash generation, so what we've done is deduct it and not include it. We're saying that those 3.9 are being deducted from EBITDA when it comes to calculating the operating cash flow. And then you were asking, in our definition of net financial debt is the 944 million, we're not including the liabilities of IFRS 19, and you're completely right. Our definition of net financial debt doesn't include it. If you add the 60 million from that liability, and I ought to say that in the annual accounts, there was a liability of approximately 64 million because that was the estimate that we were handling then. Subsequently, during the quarter, we've worked with the auditor to fine-tune that figure contract by contract and calculating it, and the final liability has been those 60 million. If to those 944 you add 60 million, you'll see that we would have a ratio which is instead of 1.74, would be close to 1.8. So there isn't a significant variation. It's 60 million in the case of CIA. It doesn't have much of an impact on us. The total IFRS 16 impact is going to be about 15 million euros in the total for the year. This quarter is 3.9, but in the last quarters it's going to be a little less, so we'll be close to 15 million for the total year in EBITDA and around 60 million in liabilities. Perfect, thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we remind you once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your keyboard. Thank you. The next question is from Carlos Aiz from Fidentiis. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon. Lorea just answered my question, which was about the impact of IFRS 16 for the rest of the year. So thank you very much. Well, that was the star question for the quarter. That was very obvious, so I'm glad I answered it. Thank you very much. The next question is from Álvaro Aristeira from Ahorro Corporación. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lorea. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking the question, and congratulations on the results. And more than a question, I would like to say, after the closing of the inter-roof systems operation you mentioned yesterday, could you provide the P&L closing from last year to be able to include it in our models? Because it gets more complicated every year. Hello, good afternoon, Álvaro. Well, I'll answer the question. I think that with the information we published yesterday regarding sales and margins, this is the information you should use to model 2019, bearing in mind that in 2019 we're only going to integrate the company during approximately 7 months, and we're not going to do magic in those 7 months. Those margins are not going to vary significantly, so 2019 is covered as far as the integrated results model is concerned. But I'm going to refer to what we discussed at the shareholders meeting this morning. Before the end of the year, we're going to publish a new strategic plan that's going to cover the next 6 years, and where, of course, you'll understand that an important part of that strategic plan is the Inteva plan of action, how that company is going to evolve. And we'll have to discuss that specifically, but we can't bring it forward because it forms part of the next strategic plan. And this morning we wanted to put our sights on the year 2019 with the figures we gave yesterday for Inteva and the data we've given today for the 2018 perimeter. We believe that the short-term guidance is very clear, and we ask you for a little bit of patience to cover the midterm, which is the next strategic plan, and which we'll launch, as Jesús Mari said this morning, we'll try to launch it before the end of the year. Thank you very much. Well, you know that we don't know what patience is. So you're saying it's consolidated as of the 1st June, then, you're saying 7 months.
Well, the theory, Alvaro, I said 7 months to round it out. But like Aurangabad, in theory, it's from the day of closing. So theoretically, it's from the day of closing. So it should be May 7th. Yes, you're right. I miscounted. It's not 7 months. It's eight. Okay. And could you give us the figure on the goodwill fund generated? No, we're not going to bring it forward. We're working on it. You know that it's been an extremely complicated carve-out. The auditor is working shoulder to shoulder with our financial team to publish as many details as we can in June, in the accounts for June. And I think that that's where you'll see some more information. But just a little nuance, if you like. Bear in mind that it's very low capital intensive company. It's not a manufacturing company like the rest of CIE Automotive. It's a company that's completely different. This is based on engineering, product design, and almost assembly. I'm simplifying it a great deal, but so you'll see the difference regarding the rest of CIE. So this investment intensity you're seeing in CIE is very far away from what you're going to see in the roof business. And the balance sheet is much lighter. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much, Lorea. Thank you, Alvaro. Thank you very much. There are no further questions in Spanish, so now we'll move on to the questions.
The first question comes from Alexander Raverdy from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two items, please. The first question is, can you please confirm that the 2019 guidance, especially for margin that you provide, excludes IFRS 16, the biofuels and the stocks, because your initial plan excluded all those items, so I just wanted to make sure. And the second question, what's your view on global production this year, specifically in Europe and China? Because Q1 was worse than expected. Some of your competitors are still aligned with IHS and expect global production down 1% this year. Others have started to take a more cautious view. So what's your plan? Thank you.
Hi, hola, Alex.
Hi, Alex. The two questions. One regarding whether the margin guidance for 2019 include or exclude IFRS. We're not considering the additional EBITDA provided by IFRS 16. We're going to comply with that guidance without IFRS, which when we launched the guidance years ago, that wasn't in the cocktail shaker, so we're under the same conditions. But let me emphasize once again that in our case, IFRS 16 is not really significant. In other companies, it has been. In our case, we own most of our assets, so it hasn't been significant. And the second question, you were referring specifically to the most worrying markets this year, China and Europe. And I'm going to refer to what the future analysts say, because more or less we share their view through our conversations with the customers. In a Europe where the second quarter is going to be at least as bad as the first one was, if in the first one we saw a significant drop in sales, more than 5%, it's probable that we'll see something similar in the second quarter. And bear in mind that the second quarter last year was very strong. So the maths here is that there's going to be a significant reduction percentage. And then the third and fourth quarters, we expect to see some recovery. Enough to end up with a positive year? No way. We still believe that Europe this year is going to be a negative year. And having said this, we do believe that the second half of the year is going to be better. China? Well, I think that in China there's still a lot of uncertainty, and I think that's where we ought to be more cautious. The first quarter was tremendously negative. The second quarter, in our opinion, is clearly negative. Not as much, probably not double-digit, but it's still negative. And I've just been at the shareholders meeting with our people in China, and they're talking about a second quarter where they don't see too many good news. And it is true that the third and fourth quarters, as in Europe, are mathematically positive, but I go back to the same thing. There's also the mathematical effect, because the bad Chinese moment started in June last year, so the worst volumes are in the second half of the year, and the percentages work out because the base is very low. But we share the general view of IHS that we're giving. We share it because of our conversations with our customers. There are going to be two markets with a very negative first part of the year and a second part of the year that we'll hope will be positive. But it's true that there's a lot of uncertainty, not just related to the automotive market. In Europe, we have Brexit, China, and the trade wars that affect not so much the vehicle of volumes exchanged. Remember that between China and the United States, we talk a lot about the trade war and everything that affects the automotive sector, but it's less than 300,000 vehicles. It's a joke compared to the exchanges in other geographies, and that's our view, Alex.
Okay, thank you very much. But can you please precise your margin guidance excludes the biofuels and stocks?
And 14% are at the perimeter of December 31st, 2018, as we said. So that doesn't include biofuels, which was out of the perimeter, and doesn't include stokes, no.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. There are no further questions in today's conference call.
Bueno, pues nada, muchísimas gracias.
Well, thank you all very much for your time, and you know where you can find us for any additional questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect.